Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Croft, Director of the Center, and I'm here today with Priscilla Weigel, an Inclusion Consultant for the Center. Welcome, Priscilla.
Thanks, Cindy.
So excited to be here again and to have you for our podcast. And we were talking, the two of us, thinking about a direction for our podcast, and we were thinking about talking about 2 and 3 year olds and their busy little bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where we're going to start today, and I think you have a story for us.
I do. 2 and 3 year olds, when you do think about what's going on inside their bodies as far as growth, busy bodies really just comes to mind because there's so much happening. And so I'm going to just describe a little a setting where a 3 year old little boy was. The 3 year old little boy, his name is Eric, and he is a student there in a child care setting. And there are 20 other 3 year olds in his class. Some of them are 2, moving to be 3, and some are 3, and he is actually a 3 year old. And when you walk in the classroom, there's a lot of things that are very structured as far as play materials. It's, you know, there are some small tables, there's things where the children have to, they have some activities that are on trays. Some things have to be matched when they're put away. A lot of times when a child is done with their, as they call it at this place, work, they have to put it back in the exact same spot before they can move on to another activity.
Right.
And so this little guy spends a lot of time connecting with the adults and sometimes is kind of clingy, kind of acts more like a young infant, perhaps, instead of a 3 year old, or he is acting out and doing things, or hiding under a table, or, you know, throwing blocks at his friends. He's actually hurt friends often, which is also causing a lot of challenges for the staff because they have the children, the parents of the peers who are being injured, getting angry, and, you know, that's something that happens often in settings. So his day really goes kind of on this little bouncy ride between aggression and clingy, whiny behavior. Aggression, clingy, whiny behavior. There are times when he engages in group activities when the teacher's leading something, but that doesn't last very long because, it, you know, when he loses interest or when it becomes a little more challenging, he withdraws and then goes and does something that he's not supposed to be doing.
Okay. And I think many people listening can relate to your story. And I think in terms of our consultation program, many of the children that we are asked to work with in programs fall in that three-year-old sort of area.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, there's almost something about three-year-olds and maybe even three-year-old boys that seem to capture people who are working in the profession for some reason. There's a little bit of something about that. And so we want to talk a little bit about what really is developmentally appropriate at that age and kind of how our environments maybe add to some of those behaviors and maybe how we could tweak it a bit and help kids at that age fit in a little bit better and modulate and regulate themselves a little bit better.
Right. And I think that another characteristic of this classroom is there's a lot of boys.
Okay.
It's kind of heavy on the boys and real light on the girls. And so there's a lot of high energy. And, you know, when you look at the job of a three-year-old, it really is time for that child to be developing some of those independent skills. To, you know, you can expect to see them not want to comply.
Right.
To, in, you know, and oftentimes we think, oh, they're so defiant, but really they're testing the limits to decide how far can I go, where are my boundaries, I want to be this grown-up kid that I'm feeling like I'm, you know, getting moving toward, but also then moving back to that, but I still like being a baby and I still like being held and I still like being cuddled. And so it's our job as a provider and a caregiver to figure out a balance that's going to provide that child with the right amount of nurturing, and also the right amount of prompting to help them kind of move toward that independent stage and not to constantly lock horns, but to just step back a little bit and understand, he's just doing his job right now.
Right.
He's just doing his job. And so I need to just remember that. And when we do that and we move away from the defiance and the power and the I've got to be in control and this kid's not listening to me, when we step away from that and take a deep breath, it's so much more positive for mm-hmm. us and for the child.
Exactly. I like that you put it that way, and if we could use a developmental lens, it would be so much easier on ourselves as
yes.
well.
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
And it's no fun to be stuck in that struggle all day long. And I think that this little guy that I'm describing is stuck in a struggle internally because he is feeling overwhelmed by the setting. He's feeling overwhelmed by the expectations of, what do you mean? I just played with this toy. Now I have to go clean it up, but I want to go over there. When really, developmentally, he should be able to go over there. Mm-hmm. Because odds are, in 3 minutes, someone else is going to come and dump out all those toys that he just put away.
Exactly.
So it's just, you know, you're just kind of piling on frustration instead of saying, let's cultivate these play skills that you really, right now, you're supposed to be practicing. How are we going to do that? Are play skills going to be practiced by spending time cleaning up everything? Or are they going to actually be interacting, trying things out, one-on-one? And this little person tends to choose to be with the adults, and we know why. Adults are predictable. We are compliant to, you know, wanting to support that child and be kind and patient. We have a longer attention span than another three-year-old. And so he's leaning always toward those adults. But realistically, as we all know, and our listening audience can relate, you don't have all the time in the world to just sit and play with one child. Mm-hmm. So when the teacher has to go wipe off the tables or go help another group, he's left alone, and then he gets this kind of anxious, what am I going to do now?
Right.
And he almost appears to be kind of jealous for that adult's attention, and that's when we see the aggressive behaviors. Right. And so, you know, once again, stepping back and saying, where is this child developmentally?
Right. And so, you know, in terms of developmental stages, looking at relationships, but also looking at physical development, I mean, you're talking about a room full of a lot of three-year-old boys. And at this age, twos and threes, that we're also expecting them to develop physically.
Mm-hmm.
So we want them to be running, climbing, jumping.
Yeah.
And yet, when they run and jump and climb at the wrong time, then they get in trouble. And that's difficult because they also are learning regulation. So it's like, do they always remember that they can't run over here or jump over here?
Mm-hmm.
All of this is, it's complex for little kids to sort all that out, which is why they depend on the adults to help them, you know, give them the boundaries, give them the regulatory skills. So and it's a balance for the teacher and the provider to let them know when they can climb and when they can't climb.
Right.
But they forget.
They forget.
They're little kids.
They're little kids. That's the thing. And when you think about having how many months of experience here on Earth,
right.
Really, there's not a lot of time that they've had here to develop this wealth of knowledge of figuring out everybody in their world. They're just practicing the whole picture. And when we say, you know, we're going to use this time now to do some jumping or whatever, and then immediately stop and cut it off, and then when the child continues, we get frustrated because it's defiance and, oh, they're not listening to me, and look at that, we're supposed to move to this next activity, and they're not ready. Because their body is still saying, I really liked the way that felt. That really was important, and I need that right now. So, you know, giving them some winding down time, not moving from a real active activity to something where they're expected to sit for a long time. You know, realizing that they're little kids. They're very young, and they're maybe, you know, trying to figure out how to sort through home rules versus school rules or childcare rules, and that's a big jump, too. And then when they come and there's all these other bodies that are just going through the same thing that they're going through, wow, that's a lot.
So with your little guy, Eric, what kinds of tips could you give listeners about helping move him a little bit from his anxiousness or his dependence on the teacher or, you know, some of the aggression he shows to other kids. Because clearly he's trying to tell everybody something.
Right.
And so in your watching and observing of him and his interactions with the teachers, what kinds of ways did you help the teachers in working with him?
Well, one thing is, you know, as we talked about, just stepping back, looking at the developmental milestones that he's achieving. Wow, you know, he's coming in, he's putting his things away at his hook, you know, trying to look for those positives so that the teachers get that frame of mind of, you know, he really is a child that has a lot of positive things to offer. But his struggles are play. He's really not showing any initiation. So that's the time that the teachers really need to step in. And it's great because he has a good connection with the teacher. He sees the teacher as an anchor. So using that connection, instead of just always sitting and maybe reading him a story or doing something just one-on-one with the teacher, expand the group. Pull in other children. Encourage him to ask questions of his peers. You know, set up play partnering, kind of. You know, maybe if instead of 5 kids at the sensory table, you might want to have 3 and only have 1 water wheel and 1 scooper so that they have to negotiate and they have to talk about, you know, oh, can I have that when you're done? But you're not going to just dump them in these situations and step away. You're going to have to kind of monitor because he's going to need that support. And what happens when it doesn't work, he immediately shuts down and it's not a docile withdrawal, it's a angry, frustrated outburst.
Right.
So when you got to be able to kind of watch for those signs when that frustration's coming. You might see more whining, you might see a grab, you know, and then you know what? If you want something, you could say, my turn, please. Or, you know, not giving a 7-word sentence, but just really short, concise phrases that he can use and keep in his brain. Because as you were saying, they can't remember. They can't remember all this stuff we tell them all the day. You know, and
yeah,
we're giving
practice,
this long...
Practice.
Right. We're giving a long dissertation about why you can't throw a block. And you think, I just told them this yesterday. But you know what? Instead of just saying the long piece, just say, scary, ouch, blocks are for building. And then move over and help him build with the blocks. And step away from the power thing. I think if we... For some children... They get stuck in that negative mode of,
sure,
this is how I get the biggest bang for my buck, by doing the worst possible thing, because then that adult is right there, and that works for me. And so he's kind of getting dangerously close to that pattern. So instead of focusing so much energy and verbal interchanges on the bad stuff, the yuck, we're going to focus on the positive.
Excellent. This was great, and we are going to continue this discussion in our next podcast with, I think, a little bit older age group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I hope everyone will join us for that. And thank you so much, Priscilla,
sure,
for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's all for now. See you next time.